This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. Happy three-day market holiday weekend. Again, Monday marks Labor Day here in the U.S., what we call our kind of official, unofficial end of summer. And now next week, pretty much everybody's going to be back from holiday, back from the beach, ready to get back to work. But Monday, of course, here is a holiday. And without U.S. markets trading, yours truly gets to take the day off too. So I thought this would be an excellent time to post this update that I have for you today that I'm recording actually back on September the 1st with Max Porterfield. Now, if you've been around this site for, several years, as many of you have, you may remember the name Max Porterfield. He's the president and CEO of a company called Callinex Mines. Now, here's how fast time flies. I first met Max in 2016, for crying out loud. And at that time, they had a lot of a base metal play, a lot of zinc. And I thought, okay, this is a great way to kind of diversify. So you don't just own gold and silver miners. You know, we got to be in the base metals as well. And of course, that has all taken off beginning last year. And copper prices are soaring. And you make a case for all these base metals in a commodity rally going forward. And so it came to my attention and I need to get in touch with Max again. And then I start looking at the company. I'm like, oh my God, boy, did I mess this one up, because I owned the shares back in 16 and 17. And I'm sure got distracted and needed some cash to buy something else. And over the time, Callinex Mines has just done great. In fact, the last time I spoke to Max, which was in February of 2020, right before all hell broke loose, Callinex was trading at about 50 cents. It's now trading at about $2.50 US. Well, I screwed that one up, but I don't intend to keep screwing it up. So here's Max Porterfield again to kind of bring us with an update and tell us what's going on there. Max, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really, really excited to be back on the show and share our thoughts and kind of what we've been up to.
Dude, I just remember in the times we spoke in the past, and I kind of Google searched it, and there's at least three or four times we've spoken, like I said, most recently back in February last year. I was always a fan of yours. I like the fact that, you know, the market cap was never high. The amount of shares outstanding isn't some extreme thing. You've always kept a decent amount of cash in your treasury. You've got a significant personal stake in the company, which, you know, is always important. You've got an experienced board and management team. You got all the stuff we're looking for. And again, that diversification. Yeah, you got gold and silver, but copper too. But Max, what's the deal? I'll just let you roll with it here for a second. Your stock has done really, really well, and I would imagine has great potential going forward. Give us an update. What's going on?
Well, since we last talked, we had been working on drilling and following up to some surveys that we run at our Nash Creek project in New Brunswick, and then led to quite a bit of success out there, where, you know, Nash Creek historically had been a zinc lead deposit, and we actually hit near surface silver 6.8 kilometers apart from each other. So we spent the past year and a half now, I guess, following up upon that. We did a soil sampling campaign that we announced in January of this year. And right now we're in the midst of a 4,000 meter drilling campaign in New Brunswick to follow up on those two silver discoveries, again, that were near surface, adjacent to that preliminary economic assessment stage, Nash Creek deposit at our Bothus portfolio. And then what really got the market excited is a discovery we made last August in Manitoba at our Pine Bay project. And Pine Bay is something that we've been focused on since actually 2014, when I took over the company, on making a significant base metals and precious metals rich VMS discovery. That's the deposit styles VMS in Manitoba, just outside of a town called Flin Flon. Flin Flon, from a kind of a macro perspective, looking at it, is a town that's had almost 100 years of continuous production. And the big flagship mine that's been operating there since the early 2000s is actually winding down. It's going to be shut down next May. So this is a town out there with 5,500 people. This mine employs nearly 800 jobs. And there's been a memo that's been put out that they're going to go down to 50 jobs there by 2023 as they unwind that. And Hud Bay also obviously has a reclamation liability, given the fact that that operation's been mining for almost 100 years of continuous production. And that's what we've been focused. Our technical team's been credited with the discovery of three of the four largest mines in this town's history. And again, the camp and the belt has produced 32 mines and counting. So there's a big need, and we've been vectoring to that discovery when we last talked, and we hadn't made it yet, but we were very, very fortunate where we hit the Rainbow discovery last August. And since that time, you know, nearly all of our focus has truly been on expanding the Rainbow discovery. And Rainbow itself is a very, very high-grade, copper-rich VMS deposit that we're delineating right now, but it also carries gold, silver, and zinc as byproducts, but really, truly, it's dominated by the copper, and its grades are very unique. I mean, if you look at copper grades around the world, the average copper grade of production is 0.5% copper, and that's, you know, obviously dominated by these very, very large, low-grade, open-pittable deposits, you know, predominantly out of Latin America. And then in terms of the highest grade copper mines, the highest grade copper production comes out of generally Central Africa. And when I say Central Africa, that's predominantly the DRC or the Congo. And if you look at the grades to be in the top 10 highest grade copper mines in the world, you need about 3.75% copper to be in that threshold, just kind of give you an idea. Mm-hmm. And the grades that we've hit in Rainbow, probably on average, are going to be north of 4% copper so far. And then some of the grades, you know, we've hit as high as 20% copper. You know, some of the intervals we more recently put out were 5 meters of 15% copper almost there. So again, truly exceptional grades.
Wow.
But not being, you know, in the DRC, and you're not being very, very remote. A lot of these products, you know, have a lot of kind of work to in front of them to become economic. And certainly we have the same at Rainbow. We've got to drill it out and build potential there. But the fact is that, you know, the Rainbow sits 200 meters away from a hydroelectric power line. And that's with direct road access to Flin Flon. There's a historic shaft on site. It's got advanced permitting because it was originally permitted in the 1960s for production. And we've maintained those permitted. So that's really allows for that. And then, of course, you've got that local community need is which is, you know, one of the key drivers for us on a personal basis.
Yeah, I know it's an oversimplification to just say, okay, so Hudbay's mine closes next May. And so, okay, let's just take all those jobs and move over to this one. I mean, there's still a lot of work to do, but yeah, it sounds like you're onto something. I mean, you've got a lot going in your favor there.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, this is a 6-year journey so far for me personally and for many members of our team. I mean, this is something that, you know, we haven't just shown up today and thought it was a good idea. Exploration is a very, very challenging business. So it takes a lot of innovation, a lot of thought process, and a little bit of luck on your side. But, you know, again, you reduce those odds by looking in the right place with the right people. Mm-hmm. And things to be, you know, seem to be coming together for us really across the board to achieve these long-term goals that we've had for ourselves. And really, this is what, you know, we kind of set out to do. This is the exciting part about it all. Obviously, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on everybody, I guess, you know, from a sentimental standpoint and obviously for the community needs standpoint to meet those objectives. But we're very, very excited about where we are and, you know, certainly how far we've come in such a short period of time relative to making that discovery in the field last August.
And I'll put the link to the most recent results right here on this podcast page. I mean, the link is right there on your Calnex website. That's on the podcast page as well. But again, if you could, I mean, this is again dated, the end of June, I think. And it talks about the intersects that you've had up there. And then this is all part of an ongoing drilling campaign, correct?
Yeah. And the recent news we put out there, there's 67 meters of 2.78% copper, for example. I mean, that's very, very wide intervals of some high grade material there. And that helps us build tonnage. And that was really kind of the highlight of that news release is sure, we've had some excellent grades, but we're also hitting some pretty nice widths there. And yep. When you have those type of widths, obviously you need a massive, a bulk of material, and you build that by getting wide intercepts, which is, you know, what that more recent news release is. And in terms of the company itself, this is part of a fully funded broader 30,000 meter drilling campaign that's fully funded from a capital raise that we did in February of this year. And we've announced results from, you know, roughly about half of those so far. Obviously been really busy at work here, and we're going to have continuous news flow from Pine Bay and the Rainbow Discovery, as well as to potentially testing some targets along the trend there. As well, as I mentioned earlier and kind of first discussed, you know, with a fully funded 4,000 meter campaign vectoring towards near surface silver in New Brunswick. And the other thing we've got working on kind of behind the scenes is working on an updated resource in Newfoundland at Point Leamington. Point Leamington is a historic resource of 14 million tons, and it's a polymetallic deposit. It's rich in gold, copper, and zinc. And we're taking a relook and getting that resource updated and looking to publish that in the near future, along with exploration targets that we've identified, just similar to what we've done in Manitoba and what we've done in New Brunswick, where you kind of got a head start with a resource, maybe at Pine Bay. There's a Pine Bay deposit, it's a small resource. And then in Nash Creek, obviously the Nash Creek deposit, and then we're building upon that with the silver discoveries. And, you know, in Newfoundland, it's no different. We've got a sizable historic resource we want to bring up to date to today's standards, and we're working on doing that. And we've identified exploration targeting on a regional basis that I believe that we'll be successful on as we, you know, look to drill those sometime in the future. And again, we get a much better head start than a lot of the peers, where Newfoundland, from a jurisdictional standpoint, has got a lot of attention from some pretty major gold discoveries out there. Where there's, you know, a lot of peers out there that have just kind of, you know, shown up more recently, stake some ground, and really that's all they have got to it is, you know, stake some a project, maybe drive some exploration targets, and then that's where they are. And you know, those are new issues, new issuances, you know, companies coming out. It might trade at a valuation today, but I think that we've got obviously more to our story just in Newfoundland than a lot of the peers out there right now.
Because I look at this in, you know, in rediscovering your company, that what you have up there in Pine Bay of this Rainbow deposit, with just that copper is, I mean, that makes almost a company right there. And then you throw on, like you said, what you actually have in Newfoundland compared, you know, everybody here at TF Metals Report knows about Newfoundland. Eric Sprott has told us about how, you know, he's trying, if he could buy the entire province, I think he would, or at least buy 20% of it, 19.9% of it. But so everybody's familiar with that, but you've actually got some history up there. You throw that log on the fire. And then back up for a second to this New Brunswick thing that you have with the silver as well, because that's part of the company too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's nothing to be disappointed in terms of New Brunswick and everything that we have there. We've got, you know, Nash Creek, which is a 19.1 million ton zinc lead resource near surface, which is unique. And that deposit itself sits, you know, about 20 kilometers down the road from some pretty key infrastructure. It's, you know, right off a provincial highway. And then down the road, you've got a historic zinc smelter that, lead smelter that could potentially be restarted. You've got a deep water port. You've got a coal fire power station. So you have kind of really all the key infrastructure. And you've got a very high unemployment rate. I mean, this is an area that had 20%+ unemployment rate pre-pandemic. And then also before they announced that lead smelter that was going to shut down locally, which is, you know, about 80% of the jobs for that town of Beldune, which is just down the road. So there's, you know, a lot of opportunity. You know, we're obviously explorers and we're going to continue to execute with the drill bit to test the target and drive these discoveries and look to meet these longer term objectives to create long-term job creation through discovery.
Yeah. All right. So Max, this has got to be driving you mad, because I look at this, like I mentioned, the stock was 50 cents a year and a half ago, but it's right now at kind of the low end of its range of the last year. Kind of, it's been between maybe $2 and $4 US, and it's about 250 US. But I look at your company, you got nice balance of cash. Your US market cap's maybe to what, $30 million, 40 some odd million Canadian. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
I mean, does it just drive you crazy? I mean, and here we're talking a polymetallic company. It's not just gold and silver. Everybody loves copper and commodities. Copper is basically at all-time highs. Are you pulling your hair out trying to figure out why the stock is only $2.54 in the U.S.?
No, I mean, I think that, you know, that there's ebbs and flows in markets. I really have shifted my mindset not to be always so intently focused on in the short-term movements in terms of the share price, and really more focused on the long-term decision-making process that's going to drive the underlying fundamentals for the company's growth. But this is not any dissimilar to, you know, really coming out of the 2008, we published a preliminary economic assessment on our New Brunswick assets. They're very, very positive. And this was in the face of the Chinese U.S. trade war that occurred within weeks of announcing that. And that's when the, you know, zinc prices went from $1.60 in base case. We assumed $1.25 zinc in the PEA. You know, zinc prices went to 90 cents a pound.
Yeah.
The market sold Calinex down to at one point down to a $3.5 million market cap, which is almost where our cash position. That's Canadian. And really, that was ultimately the biggest opportunity in my life, because the market didn't see the value that was underpinned in the company that, you know, I personally saw.
Yep.
And so, you know, I doubled, tripled, quadrupled down in terms of, you know, my personal position in the company, and focused on the long term and executing. And now coming out of that all, we've hit these discoveries, silver now in New Brunswick, which is a completely new look for that asset in general. Zinc prices today are north of $1.35 a pound as well. So it's a totally different, you know, market environment for the metals in New Brunswick. And then really, my number one dream, if you ask me professionally, what is it? It was always to find a big discovery for Flin Flon, and we're early stages to that. But to hit the rainbow and really make the comeback in terms of the price appreciation, I've been happy with. But I really believe this is just the start in terms of equity valuation since the rainbow. You know, I liken it maybe that we needed to play catch up and get back to that technical level. We've built a nice base over the $3 Canadian level, or $2.50, you'd say, in US. And, you know, I just think we just got to continue to execute, and that'll lead to a higher share price as we deliver results to the market, and we continue to, you know, increase our shareholder presence and awareness campaigns through, you know, communicating our story to the market.
Yeah. You know, and Max, I think too, I mean, and that I just look at it, it's tremendous value. I just think that the share price and the market cap versus what you have there is really eye-opening. And in a world where, you know, we're talking about depleting resources of producing companies, value like yours starts to really eventually get some attention. As we wrap up, I, you know, without making, you know, those forward-looking statements and the stuff that, you know, they always talk about, we got third of the year left here. And obviously we're starting to look forward to 2022. What should we keep an eye on? Can you kind of tell us, you know, what your major thrust will be in the months ahead?
Yes, absolutely. So obviously first and foremost, our drilling campaign at Pine Bay to expand the rainbow is going to be very, very key to the success of the company and driving shareholder value for the company. So with that being said, we're going to have consistent drill results coming out of the rainbow in Manitoba, which we're very, very, you know, excited to get out to the market at Pine Bay. I'm sorry, that's at Pine Bay. We're going to have news results coming out from the silver follow-up drilling campaign in New Brunswick. That's big, again, along that trend where we had those two silver discoveries last year. And that'll be news flow in the coming months that'll be out. And as well as that updated resource in identifying the target, it's, you know, kind of publicly to the market at our Point Leamington project in Newfoundland is going to be a key catalyst for the company this year. So we're really, you know, been to have had a big year so far, but very, very excited about what's to come in the future.
Yeah. No, me too. Me too. as soon as we get into this current week, as I'm, you know, like I said, recording this back on the 1st, but people are listening to this on the 6th or the 7th. I'm very much looking forward to becoming a shareholder again, because I just, like I said, I think this is a tremendous value. But yeah, again, obviously, everybody listening, you don't just listen to me, right? You got to do all of your own due diligence, all of your own homework. You got to look at your risk, assess your own risk tolerance, your time horizons, everything else. You got to do, like I said, all your own homework. You can start by visiting the links on this page to the Calinex website. I'll pull some links off of that website, so you can just look at like those drill results from the Rainbow Deposit yourself. But also, again, just do a Google search or go to bar chart and do a search of the ticker symbols, which up in Canada is CNX. That makes sense for Calinex. And here in the U.S., CLLXF. Can you use either of those symbols and you can get more information? Max, thank you for providing us with more information. This is been really enlightening and sure has piqued my interest.
No, I really appreciate you taking the time to reach out and really happy to be able to update you and your listeners on what we're up to.
Max, it's been a year and a half since we spoke. It's not going to be a year and a half till we speak again. I can promise you that. Okay.
I certainly hope not.
Okay, keep us posted. And again, thanks for all you're doing. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Enjoy the remainder of the holiday weekend, and we look forward to visiting with you all again on Tuesday.